just come out of a meeting and I'm just dying to tell a joke that David would want me to say, but I'm not going to do it. I'll leave it alone. Why tempt you? All right, it's not a joke. It's not really a joke. It's a situation where David was talking about somebody who had come to class and they made the statement that, just press that to turn it on. Okay. They had made the statement that they had studied for days and for weeks and for hours on the lesson, but they had decided they were just going to set it all aside and just let the Spirit move them and just let everything come from their heart. And I was reminded of my teacher, Harvey Floyd, who tells the story of a woman who is talking to, meeting with an individual who, and she's going to perform and sing, and she sings, and the individual goes up to her after her performance and says, "That was outstanding, that was great." And she said, "It was all God." And he said to her, "Well, it wasn't that good." And that is the truth. All right, the reason we're doing all that is Eric Lyon will not be with us tonight, and we found that out just about an hour or so ago because his son was involved in an automobile accident, and so he's in Montgomery, and we have just received word that his son is fine and has been discharged from the hospital. So we're grateful for that news, grateful for that being the case. But we are going to talk about something. My mind was telling me that it was Eric's topic for tonight. As it turns out, it's not. It's not at all his topic that he was going to cover tonight. Neither is it a topic that he's going to cover at any other time. But I wanted us to talk about it a little bit. What I'd like for you to do, and I'd like for you to find the passage. Let us know where you find it, and we'll all open to it together. I'd like for you to find the passage where the writer says, "Every house is built by someone. The builder of all things is God." Find that. Many of you may already know. Give you a second to look. And here's what I want us to do tonight. I'm not going to lecture. We're going to try to move away from that. But we're going to talk about this. And I know that there will be a number of you that will have thoughts that you've heard, that you've studied, things that you think that would be good to share with everybody else. We're going to kind of have an open class regarding this subject tonight. And that's why I had the microphone brought down. If you want to make a comment, I'm going to bring the microphone to you, and you can make a comment or say something that you've heard or thought of or studied that ties in with what we're going to be looking at. Before we do that, and before we find out where we're going to turn, I want us to have our prayer together. We want to keep in mind Eric's son, of course. And Bob Winter went in for his procedure about 2 this afternoon. And that should be over now, but I haven't gotten an update on Bob. Does anybody have?
He's in his room now. Possibly go home later tonight.
Okay, he's out in his room, possibly go home later tonight. Ron Waddell is in the emergency room with fluid around his heart, and they had been there for a while. And when I talked with he and Mesa about 2:30 this afternoon, they were still in the emergency room. He's been admitted now. Okay, been admitted, be there 4 to 5 days. This is why it's so good for it to be open, so we can all talk. So we want to remember them in our prayers. Anybody else that you know of that we're overlooking? Yes. Ruth Bath. That may be the case. That's right. She was having hers today, and she's doing well. The one that's having some complications is James Bailey, and they think they figured out that it was the medication he was having that was causing him to lose his balance and create some problems in his walking, and they took that medication away. It's the first time he had ever taken it, and hopefully he's doing better. Don and Shirley have their first great grandbaby born this morning to
Caleb, and I can't think of his wife's name.
Okay, to Caleb.
6 pounds and 19 inches. They called her Randy.
Call her Randy?
R-A-N-D-I.
I have a son named Randy. But, okay, that's the way it goes. All right. Regetta Ballantyne fell and broke her leg, and she is being transferred back to Birmingham for surgery. She had that today. See, I'm so far behind, we catch up, but she had that today. Any others? Okay, let's bow together. Father, we thank you so much for the beauty of the day today. And we thank you, Father, for every blessing that you give to us, especially for your word. And we ask you to be with Eric's son. We're grateful that the injuries do not seem to be serious and that he's able to go home. And we ask you, Father, to be with all of those that we've just mentioned that are going through procedures or have procedures coming up, and ask you to be with each and every one of them. And help their health to be able to improve and then be able to be back to their normal life just as quickly as possible. And we thank you, Father, for the love you have for us. And as we open your word together tonight and we think about it, we ask you to be with us. Help us to honor you and to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's obvious we're going to be talking a little bit tonight about creation. And so I'd like 2 or 3 volunteers who would be willing to lead a song related to creation. And we'll do that as we go through. Do I have any volunteers? Bobby will be one. Okay. And we have 2. That'll be, do you want to lead one or no? That'll be good. Okay. Is that good? Okay, Bobby, Bill, all right. One rule, if you want to talk, I'd like for you to let me bring the microphone to you, and you tell everybody who you are. And if you're like me, you may forget that, but that's okay. But we'll do that. Okay, where are we reading? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. I want you to think about this verse. I want you to think about all the implications of it. It's a very small verse, but it states some very important things. And the verse reads, as we've already indicated, "For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything." Now, let me share some things with you just from my thoughts, and then we'll open it up. Everything we see around us did not just happen. Everything we see around us is not an accident. Every house is built by someone. And I think it's interesting that the writer says every house. That doesn't mean that everything around us is built by a human being. Even things that we might consider to be what we did may not necessarily be built by us. I think about tomatoes and green beans and squash and all of those different things. And it would not really be accurate to say every green bean is made by somebody. Well, no, we don't make them. We can plant them and we can help them to grow and water them and make them grow. But the green bean is made by God. And He gives us the seed so that we can make the green beans. And the other thing that kind of ties in with this is that when you look in the book of Genesis, the English words designate it and the Hebrew words designate it. That there are different words used to describe the things that are made. It says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And one of the first thing God made was what? God said, let there be light. And there was light. He created it as He created the world, which carries with it the idea out of nothing. He created it out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. That becomes that one point as we start the book of Genesis, takes us through a principle that's going to be repeated all through the Bible. What He speaks exists, even if it never existed before. What He speaks comes into being, even if it's never been in being before. And that's why what God says and God speaks and God does is so reliable to us. When God says, I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. When God says something, even if it's never been in existence, it comes into existence. But when God made man, the word is not created, although you could use that word in connection with it, that He created human beings. But the word used in the book of Genesis is God made, or formed, or shaped man. What did He shape him out of? Dirt, clay, the earth. You came from the earth, you'll go back to the earth. And man, in that sense, was shaped. He was formed. He was made out of something already in existence, out of something God had already created. And He shaped man and made him and formed him. And so as you read through those first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis, you'll see the different words that are used to describe the different things that are made. And in a sense, everything is created, some out of nothing, some out of things God has already made and already created. So we come to this verse again in Hebrews chapter 3. Every house is built by someone. Everything that has been made is made by somebody. Just look around you. There's not a thing you can see around you that hasn't been made. Somebody made this podium. Somebody made this speaker stand. He's sitting right up yonder. Somebody made these pews. Somebody made this carpet. Somebody made that microphone. Somebody made this that I can control PowerPoint with. Somebody made the screen that you look at. Somebody made the watch that I'm wearing. The phone that I don't have in my pocket because Jane has it. The handkerchief I have in my back pocket. The billfold that I have in my other back pocket. The keys that I have. Everything is made by somebody. Now, what's so significant about that is that it is around us. I mean, it surrounds us. It's undeniable. Everything is made by somebody. And yet we're told, no, that's not true. This whole world just happened. This whole universe just occurred. And Paul takes us back to the foolishness of saying that when we, if we're thinking properly, realize and recognize that everything is made by somebody. Everything we see, everything we look at, everything we use did not just happen. Nothing just happens. Every house is built by someone. One of my teachers used to say, what would happen if you were the first person to ever set foot on the moon, and when you got to the moon, you saw a sign covered up with moon dust, and you raked the moon dust off of it, and there in English was written, "Welcome to the moon." Did that just happen? You would then know, I'm not the first one here. You would then know, well, I don't know who it was, but somebody who could speak English or write English was here ahead of us. And if you had other astronauts traveling with you, you might turn to them and say, which one of you guys did this? Because this isn't funny. So which one of you guys did this? Because every house is built by someone. And the builder of everything is God. And we are called wise today. If you say, no, our science proves it just happened. Our science proves it was just an accident. Our science proves that it was just something that occurred out of a big bang, and there's no order to it of any kind whatsoever. Is there order to it? I try to point this out to people. Sometimes we just don't think about it. We just have thoughts and ideas and we stay with them. But it's amazing that you can take your calendar and go as far in the future as you want to go and see what date July the 4th will be 100 years from now. What day it will be on. Or you can take your calendar and you can go back as far as you want to go and figure out what day July the 4th was on back then. And figure it out by looking at your calendar. Now, it's true, we've had a little mix-up in some of the calendars as we've come down through history. But with our calendar, you can still go back and take a look and say, July the 4th, according to what we have, was on this day. You can figure out the day you were born. You can figure out the day your grandparents were born. You can figure out the day your great-grandparents were born. You can figure out the day your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were born. On what day of the week they were born. Just simply going back. That order is because of the order of the sun, the order of the day. And we understand the changes that have to be made, so we include a leap year. The Jews understood the changes that had to be made to keep up with the cycle of the moon, and so they had an extra month that they would throw in every so often. But they knew and understood that the cycle of those days, and therefore the months and the years, was the way God designed the sun and all the things that are in the universe. They are there to set time. They are there to determine days and weeks and months. Everything has order. There's a reason the birds migrate. There's a reason, as I think it was Ed Babin was telling me this week, there's a place they like to go and visit to see the bald eagles. And the reason they like to go there to see the bald eagles is not because the bald eagles stay there year-round, but it's because whenever the birds migrate, they go through this particular place, a great migration of them. And the bald eagles know they're coming. And the bald eagles go there and wait. They know what's going to occur. They know what's going to happen. They know when it's going to happen. There's so much about design around us that proves this is no accident. It didn't just happen. Because if it was an accident, it would be chaotic. But the only chaotic part about it is us. It's not chaotic. It has order. Every house is built by somebody. And the builder of all things is God. Who wants to share something? Who wants to sing? Come on, Bobby.
Oh,
Who's got something that you recall, you remember, or seemingly always does it for you, that just holds you in wonder at God's creation? Anybody have something that they love? Yes. You want the mic? You don't. Is it on? I've got it turned on, I think. It's got a green light. Try it now.
Hello. When I teach little kids, I tell them, if you have design, you have to have a designer. It has to be there. And one of the things that I enjoy very much is when I teach about termites, and most people don't know about termites. Termites are very interesting creatures. They can't digest wood. And I tell the kids that. I say that's like eating gravel. You can't digest gravel. They can't digest wood. So what's a termite to do? Well, guess what? They have a little organism, a live organism in their gut called a foraminifera that digests wood, and then they give them the byproducts. Now, tell me how that with evolution happened. How that happened, that's not a design. That's just by accident that the termite found out, oh, I can't eat wood, so I'm going to have to get a foraminifera in my stomach. A foraminifera can't live outside in an oxygen-rich environment, so it's got to live inside a termite or it's going to die. So how does that happen? You know, I just tell the kids that, and it was like, oh. I said, and the world is full of this. This is design, and design demands a designer.
You were mentioning the order of nature, and I think about the incredible order
of... Tell everybody who you are.
Pardon me?
Tell everyone who you are.
I'm Brenda Williams. I think about the incredible order of the human body. You know, you said the only chaos is us, and that's true in our minds, but our physical bodies are amazing. Our hearts and our circulatory systems and the way our brains work, and, you know, we come into this world with a breath, we leave it without a breath. We're amazing. Somebody made us, we didn't just happen. But our bodies are amazing.
Yeah. Some of you were with us when we took a trip with Lindsay and them. Lindsay's pier broke and I fell and scratched up my shin. And it's been amazing to me to watch it heal. That I didn't do that. God just designed that.
My name is Clark Sherritt, and I'm a fairly new member here. He said something a while ago about something being created out of something out of nothing. And that reminded me of a discussion I had with Dr. Krause at the University of Alabama when I was going to college. And we got in discussion about creation and evolution. And that's something that came up, I brought up to him. Where did matter come from non-matter? And of course he couldn't answer it. Nobody can answer that. And I answered it, of course, with Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, non-matter, created the heavens, earth, matter. I said, that is a scientific answer. But over the years, I wondered more about it. And I started wondering about evolution. If it occurred, how did the species occur here on the earth? Then when you stop in consideration that the closest star to us outside of our sun is 24 trillion miles from here, how could... just say an anemone or whatever they want to decide it is, arrive here on Earth, and according to what science says today, there's over 1 million species. How do these species, just say, reduce it down to 50,000 or 20,000, evolve a male and a female at the same time? And not only be able to evolve a male and a female at the same time, stay in the same location for all the days of their life, be able to evade predators, find out what kind of food they can eat, they can survive and grow, and then figure out how to reproduce, and then be able to raise their offsprings. What are the mathematical odds of that are just happening by random chance? It's nearly mathematically impossible. And then when you think about the order of it, there's definitely a creator behind all this, the way he set everything in place for it all to happen, and everything that we have that we need to survive as a species. I've always found that very intriguing. And when you look out in the universe and you see all the different galaxies and everything, you just can't help but wonder what kind of God do we serve, how powerful he really is. But just think about that. Over 1 million species, how do they all evolve, the male and female, just that part alone, mathematically?
No.
Couldn't happen.
No.
I'm Cindy Thompson. Here lately, I've been beginning to like possums. As ugly as they are, God created them, and they have no rabies like raccoons, but yet they eat snakes. So I thought that was very interesting, that God can make so many creatures who, you know, and there's a food chain, they form it. And God made them to be that way. So I think that's very interesting. And possums are my friends, and only a mother could love a possum.
I have a possum story. I catch squirrels with a cage and transport them to a new home. And it seems like no matter how many I catch, and so far I've caught 12, they keep coming. They seem to come back, although I've been told if you take them 7 miles away, they won't come back. And I'm tempted now to paint their tails to see if one of them is coming back, coming back to me. But one morning I went out, and in my cage was a possum. And I decided, okay, buddy. And so I took him to a different place and let him out. He's over near Ross Bridge, Larry. That's where I let him go. So he's over near Ross Bridge. And then come back, I got to reading about possums. And they eat ticks. And I thought, what have I done? Because we have ticks all over our yard, because we've got a neighbor two houses away that feed deer, and if you're feeding deer or you have pine trees, you will have ticks. And so I got rid of my tick eater, and I've always regretted that. Anyone else?
I'm Mindy Belmont, and I embarrass my husband. water's the only liquid that when it freezes, it floats.
That's true. And can you understand why? Fish won't die. Fish live underneath the water. Even though when it gets solid, it floats. Who knew that? Who figured that out? Have y'all read, I'm trying to think of another name and now I forgot about this one, Lagarde Smith's latest book, I think it's his latest book, on who's the evolution guy? Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin's big mistake. It's a sexual mistake. You can't have a third human being without two. You can't have, and those two have to be one male and one female. And without one male and one female, you can't have a third human being. So how does evolution explain humanity? It can't. not with all the years, the first human being would have died before the next one could have evolved. How did it happen? And it gets back down to what Paul writes about in the book of Romans and what God tells us, that those who consider themselves wise will become foolish just simply because of the way that God has made everything and designed everything. You got a song? Two quick things. Our boys were born during a time when you, as a husband or father, were not allowed in the delivery room. And our oldest was born in Mississippi. Our next one was born in Wisconsin. Our next one was born in North Alabama. And our fourth one was born in Wisconsin. The second one, born in Wisconsin, who was our fourth one, was the first time the hospital there allowed the father to be in the delivery room. And I have a lot of memorable things about that delivery room. One is Kathy being in a lot of pain and me just walking up to her and saying, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay." And she looked at me, her face turned sour, and she said, "It's not okay." And I learned very quickly, there are some things you need to say and some things you don't need to say. And but seeing David born was one of the most fascinating things I have ever been able to witness. And that was truly a fascinating thing. And that just helped everything. I wrote a bulletin article this week, and it comes out of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is talking about worry. And in the middle of talking about not worrying, and we all get anxious, even Jesus got anxious, but not letting that worry and that anxiety control us, Jesus then points his disciples and he says to them, "Look at the birds. They don't sow crops, they don't harvest, but there's not a one of them going hungry, because God takes care of them. And you are of much more value than they are." And then he says, take a look at the lilies. The literal word is lilies. Some translations will put flowers, but the word is lily. Take a look at the lilies, how they are dressed, how they grow. They don't spin, they don't sew, they don't make their clothing, and yet not even Solomon in all of his glory could dress as well as one of them. And he talks about us looking at the things around us in order to calm ourselves and to depend upon God and know that we can trust him and depend upon him. And I concluded that article by saying, do you think God may have put all of these plants, all of these creatures, all around us for us to observe, creatures that are doing nothing but what God made them to do, being nothing but what God made them to be, and to look at the peace and the contentment that they have, that they are not troubled by anything in the world that troubles us. They are not troubled or worried about anything that might keep us up at night. And I've just raised the question, do you think maybe God put them here so we can learn something and so we can see something from them? It's always been amazing to me when Jesus says, don't worry, and then immediately goes, look at the world around you. Look at the things that are around you that God has built and God has made. I'm a bird watcher, have been since I lived in Wisconsin. I love it. I love to identify them. I love to look at them and watch them. It's one of the most relaxing things that I do. And I love to sit on my deck with my binoculars and just watch the birds and identify as many as I possibly can. And it's amazing to me how different they are from each other, and yet all made by God, and all made, every cardinal is going to be a cardinal, and so forth and so on, made just the way God made them, and to sing those songs the way they sing them. It's all amazing. We're going to have one more song. And after this song, I'm sorry, we'll be dismissed. Yes, sir. Dan, let me bring you the mic. Yeah, you do. Oh. Twyla's the only one that can hear you.
you think maybe that God put the pretty things in the world so we could take our minds off of the ugly things and be happy for a while?
That's right. Things to learn from. We're going to sing the song, and after the song is sung, you're dismissed.
Thank you.